All right. I think we made it to chapter 7 last week. And chapter 7 is a lot like chapter 6, which is a lot like chapter 5 of Jeremiah. There is good news in this book. Well, and like my brother Kevin said, he said what he sees in the writings of Jeremiah, especially where the Lord's talking to him about the people, is God's pleading. He's constantly pleading, come out, come back. If you would just repent, if you would acknowledge where you have sinned against God and come out of that, I have the power to heal, to forgive, to meet your deepest need. Like, oh, how I love Jesus. He'll, although you tread the darksome path, he'll give sunshine all the way, right? And it doesn't get better for the nation until the nation acknowledges not its shortcomings, but the reality of the sin against a mighty God. Because that's really where the problem lies. It's it is the people that profess to be God's people that choose not to follow the written word and the prophets and the righteousness that's laid out for God or from God. And so here we are again in 7, and 7:1, and the word of the Lord, and the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim, there is there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doing, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between men and a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Did you hear God? He said, listen, folks. And he tells the prophet to stand at the gate of the chapel. He says, before the people come into worship, you need to start preaching to them on the outside, before they come in, to get their hearts prepared if they really and truly want to worship me. Not me, but God. God's saying if they really want to worship me, first they need to acknowledge that they are sinful before me, that they have not followed my words, that they've not followed my statutes. They're in distress at this point in time in their history because they chose not to walk with me. And again, every time I go through this, I see America. I see a nation, and it's not even America anymore. I see the world that has turned against the God that created the world, right? The one who spoke in the beginning and said, let there be, and there was. That God that created all things and made all things, and everything he made was good until Adam sinned. And sin entered the world and polluted the wholeness of everything. And still at this time, as it says in Isaiah, is my arm so short that it cannot save, that I cannot save. God's still willing to save. You just got to look at what he says here. Those that enter the gate in verse 2, the gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Do we really want America to be great again? All right, now I'm not throwing off on Trump here or nothing like that. Not that make America great. But I mean really and truly make this nation a nation that honors God once again. If we do, then the church, because he's only, remember where he's standing at? He says, stand at the gate of the Lord's house. All right, he didn't say go down to the courthouse or go down to the justice hall or go down to the police station or go to this place. He said, stand at the house of the Lord. And those who are coming in to worship me, tell them this, that they need to repent and turn from their wicked ways. The church today is just as dirty and as guilty of these sins as Israel was in their day. And God has forgiven that song that was written, God Bless America. God Bless America. Well, the second line to that ought to be in, look at what you've done. God blessed America. He did. He blessed America. We are, as far as historical things go, were one of the greatest nation that was ever on the earth. All right? We really were. We sent out, you look at where things were invented. Who invented the vehicle? Americans did. The light bulb. Americans did. Electricity. Americans did. Right? All of the printing press wasn't invented in America. But that was before America. But yeah. All right. I was going to say the printing press, but no. Many things, right? Many things were invented in, well, the modern day war machine is invented in America. Yep.
You get more of a think tank and a democracy. Communism does not encourage free thinking.
Right.
So, I mean, they can do something that's already, you know.
Instead of democracy, because we really don't have a democracy. We have a republic.
But there's a lot of things that they make in America.
Yes.
And then they make them better in China, but they didn't come up with the idea first. Right.
And I wouldn't even say they made them better in China. They made them cheaper because they have child labor.
Yeah.
Right? Slave labor, you know. And so they can make a widget for a tenth of a penny, where in America, because of the unions, they make the same widget for $50. Instead of a tenth of a penny. But, you know, when you're feeding your labor force a bowl of rice, instead of what's minimum wage now, they're trying to get $15 an hour for minimum wage. For flipping burgers? You know, anyhow. But that's not the problem. The problem is the people have started walking and following after Baal. After the gods of this world. They stopped listening and fearing and walking and reverencing the Lord God that created all things, started making a God in their own imagination that looks like them, that acts like them.
Trying to take shortcuts is what we're doing.
Yep.
In America, we'll do as little as we can for what money we can, and then we're all taking shortcuts. It's we know better, but we don't choose to do better.
Yeah. I don't even know if we know better anymore. Yeah, we knew better.
We are on the throne.
Yeah, we are on the throne.
In America,
yeah.
Most of us.
Right.
Most, even in the church, that Christ is not on the throne. We are on the throne.
Yeah. And that's trusting in lying words, like he says in verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord. See, the Hebrew people of that time, their government system was in the temple of the Lord. And they said, well, the temple of the Lord, that's what's going to save us. Our government's going to save us. They didn't say the Lord of the temple. They didn't say God is going to do it. It's the temple. It's where God, where we think God lives. That's what's going to save us, is the building, this magnificent building. Temple of, and how many times did they say it? Four times? The temple of the Lord are these. Right? And so he's saying, look at the people were saying as they were coming into the house of worship. Oh, what? Well, we'll get down a little bit and talk about, because Jesus said, you have turned my house into a house of thieves. It was supposed to be a house of prayer. I think that's in Luke and also in Matthew. The house of the Lord was supposed to be a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves. So it wasn't a new thing, because they had done it back before when Babylon took them off or was about ready to take them off. And then they were doing it again in the other temple, because this temple, Solomon's temple that they're talking about, it's going to be tore down pretty soon. It's going to be ripped to pieces because of the sin of the people, not because of the will of the Lord. God didn't want the temple to be tore down. He didn't want the people to go into bondage. He said, these The reason these things are happening is because of the state of your heart, the state of your mind, what you're wanting to do instead of what I'm commanding to do. If you just follow me, if you just follow the words, if you just amend your ways and turn from your doings, then I won't have to put this judgment on you. I said it a few months ago, maybe a year or so ago, that I truly believe that we have gone over the edge already. And I told you about that place that I remember going to when I was a child somewhere. May have been Tennessee or something like that. I'm really not certain where it was because I was just a little squirt. And it was a big smooth rock on top of a mountain. And when you got up to there's lines there. There's a green line, then there's a yellow line, then there's a red line. And you weren't supposed to go past the green line. But if you got to the yellow line, you needed to turn around, caution, turn back. Because if you made it to the red line, you were already falling, although you may be on your feet. You had gone so far over the edge, and it was such a slight, just a slight little angle. It wasn't like a cliff. It was just a slight, like, you could see it, and it was, you know, it was like, yeah, you could walk over there. It wouldn't be no problem. It wasn't the end. In fact, you could see it. It just gradually went on. But once you got so far out past that, gravity had already got you. You were already on the way down there because it was slick. There's no way that you could turn around and come back. Your feet were already gone, even though you may have been standing on them. It's an interesting little spot. I'm sure by now they have fences up and, you know, guard dogs and stuff like that because this is communist America. Instead of just having a little line, now every kid's got to wear helmets when they ride a bicycle. Anyhow, different thing.
That's what sin is. If you try it.
Yep.
Try it again. Try it the third time. You're done.
Yeah. It will. It pulls you in, sucks you in, right? Verse 5. For if you thoroughly amend your ways. All right. Now, check how God says that. It's not just confessing your sin. Thoroughly amend your ways. That means if you know you have sin or you are doing something outside of God's word and you know it, thoroughly amend it. That means don't play with it. Don't just confess it. It means to kill it. It means to do away with it. If you're a prideful person or arrogant or you have a problem with whatever that is and you know it's against God, it might just be money, it could be your lawn. There's so many things it could be. If it's something that's stopping you from walking in the holiness and the righteousness of God, get out of it. Turn away from it because it's killing you. And God doesn't want you to die that way. If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, no, that's a good one. If you oppress not the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place. Shed not, that's in verse 6, or verse 6, yeah. Oppress not the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood. Do you think God isn't going to judge us for all of the innocent blood that we've shed? And not just through the abortions, and I mean, don't get me wrong, that's horrible, but think of the child trafficking that's going on, that's being covered up by our government. And it is the core and the very essence of wickedness. And these folks are calling themselves Christians. Yeah, they're saying that they have a relationship with the one true God, and they're doing this kind of horrible stuff. And not even doing it, but just agreeing with those who do it. Hollywood, right? Look, even Hollywood, it's about witchcraft. The whole thing is witchcraft. It's wicked, all right?
Holly is.
Yeah, amen. Yes, it is. And shed not innocent blood, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. When we start walking after other gods, who's it hurt? Hurts us, because God doesn't change. Do you really think if we're worshiping something that is not God, that's going to hurt God? It doesn't hurt. It doesn't change who God is. God is God, and he's always good. He's always righteous. He's always doing the right thing. If you choose to worship a stick or go hug a tree, or I heard last night that, who was that that said that? It was Dave during men's study. And is talking about the Pope and the Muslim leader and the Hindu leaders. They're all going up to Mount Sinai to pray. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like one of those bad jokes. You know, you got a priest and a monk and they're going up. And, but anyhow, but they're coming together in ecumenicalism, coming together to worship. And what they were going to pray for, they were begging forgiveness for hurting the earth. That's what they're going up there to pray about.
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
How wicked is this?
It makes sense that, you know, I was brought up Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
It is Mariolatry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can see where the Catholic Church would fit right into that.
Sure.
Jesus was, Jesus the Mother.
If you want to get Jesus on your side, you got to pray to his mom. Pray to his mom or pray to one of the apostles. That's what's going to change Jesus' mind about you. You got to go through Mother Mary. Wait, how many intercessors do we have between God and man? One, and he is Jesus, right?
Well, Jesus doesn't change. God doesn't change.
Yeah.
So I can't change you, Curtis.
No.
I can really get mad at you. I can trick you. I can run into your vehicle. But I can't change you.
No, sure can't.
So it's the whole thing goes back to is me.
The whole thing comes back to the Word of God.
Yep.
What do we really believe? Right. Amen. You know, again, where do wars and fightings and arguments come? Because you lust and you don't receive. So you desire something out of somebody else. That's what causes hardships between people. I'm expecting something out of you that you're not giving me. So that makes me mad. That's why we argue.
And that's why they walk away from God.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because you're being a fool.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they're worshiping other gods. They're worshiping themselves. They like Wendy said, they're sitting on the throne of their own heart, a place that is reserved for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. And they said on their own. And I will cause you to, he says, if we do these things, if we stop shedding innocent blood, if we stop worshiping other gods, if we amend our ways, if we execute judgment properly between a man and his neighbor, that means no biasness in the judgments. That means all of the politicians and all of the really wealthy people that do horrible things and get away with it, if they were judged straight out, this is the law. And I don't care if you have a million gazillion dollars and you're the president of the United States or the king of the world or whatever, you steal a bubblegum wrapper, you get the punishment for stealing a bubblegum wrapper, right? It doesn't matter your wealth. And so if we would start executing judgments properly, you break the law, you pay the penalty. If we would just do that. Nowadays in New York, I mean, you can... Shoot somebody, murder somebody, push them in front of a train. You get out of jail before your feet, before you're processed, right? They just release you back into the streets. That's not justice of any sort. But anyhow, then God says, here's the promise. And I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land I gave your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? I read that, and what it popped in my mind was Romans chapter 6. Shall we sin that grace may abound all the more? God forbid, right? God forbid. Should we live as a, and hear God saying again, stand before me in this house that's called by my names. We are delivered to do all of these abominations. Because I said the prayer, because I said I trusted in Jesus Christ, because I call myself a Christian, and I trust in the church, that gives me the right to steal and murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, worship foreign gods, the gods that are not gods, and walk after those gods who's not even real. Just because you're call yourself a born-again believer and you're a drunkard, then I don't have a problem with you. Scripture has a problem with you. All right? You call yourself a believer. Yeah, I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 6 real quick and just go through these. And we could do Ephesians 2, but Galatians chapter 6 is the one that pops out in my mind. About the works of the flesh, right? Or is it 5? A little leaven, leaven. Oh, there you go. 5, 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. remember in men's group, we talked about that for 5 weeks. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little bit. And here God saying the same thing back in Jeremiah. A little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. For anyhow, if we go down a little bit, verse 16 of the same chapter, chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. He goes through a list of these things, right? He says in there that if you, verse 21, envy, lusting, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, if you're doing those things, the word of God says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, God loves me. He'll forgive me. He knows I'm only a human. Yeah, he does. He'll forgive you if you turn. He'll forgive you if you stop. He'll forgive you if you do like it tells you in Jeremiah to turn to harshly go against those things, right? To thoroughly amend your ways. He'll forgive you. And so, but we come and we say we're going to come and stand before the Lord in the house that's called by His name and say that we're delivered. We're allowed to do all of these abominations. Because God will never forsake His own. I said the prayer, once confessed, always saved, right? You blab it and grab it. You can call yourself a Christian. I remember back in 1972, I bowed my knee before the Lord, but since then I've been drinking and cussing and murdering and adultery. I've been stealing and robbing and treating people horribly. But in 1972, I believed in Jesus Christ, so I'm good. Unfortunately, I've went to funerals and heard pastors say that. The guy was a drunkard. He was an alcoholic. He was a wife abuser. He was an adulteress. But I remember back when he was a kid, and he came to my youth thing, and he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So I know he's in heaven. I know you're a liar. That's what I know. I know that is a lie straight out of the pits of hell. God says, if we don't turn, we will burn. So you can't claim it and not walk it.
No one should ever say that they know someone's in heaven. No one has that right.
You're right.
No one.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. But how many funerals have you gone to?
Right? My dad, I don't know if I'm
going to go. Well, not your dad. I mean, one thing you've already gone to. Right?
He's sick.
And they all say, well, he's in a better place. I don't think hell's a better place. Right? And that person was a drunkard, a whoremonger, he was a drug addict, or she was any of that, and they are in hell, they're not in heaven. Why? Because the Bible says so.
Yeah, but I shouldn't even talk about you that I believe is going to be in heaven. I shouldn't say I know Curtis is in heaven.
No.
I don't know that.
Uh-uh. Only you shouldn't. I don't know if you're going to make it.
Exactly. Between me and Jesus. Yeah, I just...
And this is the truth. And we don't. You. I mean, I'm preaching this, but you don't know my heart. Only God knows my heart. All I know about my heart is it's desperately wicked. Right? And the only way that I know for sure that I'm going to make it, and I'll tell you this, I'm going to make it because I'm going to remain abiding in the vine. That's the only way.
Seeking.
I'm seeking, looking, repenting, coming to the end of myself to acknowledge the Most High God. That's the only way. All other things are all a farce. It's a pipe dream, right? It's all a pipe dream without that. And verse 10 says, come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. We're delivered out of these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But this is where it came to my mind in Matthew 21, Luke 19. He says, my house is a house is to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Right, and then Jesus kicks over the tables, and he runs people out, right, because they were doing abominations before the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at first. And see what I do to the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, and ye heard not, and I called you, and you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto this place, which I gave to you, and your fathers, as I have done at Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Remember when I started and I said I'm having a hard time to pray for America? Every time I go to prayer, and it's happened for about the last year, and I pray for America, this scripture is the one that comes to my head. This is the one that that tells me that God said, stop praying for that nation. It's an ungodly nation. I'm going to judge it. All right, and that's just for me. Maybe it hasn't happened to you in your prayer life, but me in my prayer life, when I go to pray for the salvation of America, for the calling out, this is the one that comes in the still, quiet voice in the back of my head. It says, don't pray for these people. Don't pray for that. They've already made their choice, and in this last election cycle, you see the choice that America made. I'm not saying that it was a phony election, that there's fraud or nothing like that. No, I don't believe there was. I think the heart of the people truly showed in America that that 99% of the American people do not want a government that honors God. They don't want it.
You have to pray for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Not America is too general because it's done. So you pray for individuals.
Well, I pray that God would send a revival in America. Wake up people. All right? But even when I do that, God lays on my heart, do not pray for these people. Pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. I don't know about you guys. Right, and I can't speak for you. I'm telling you that over the last year, as I go to prayer, this scripture comes to my head. And I mean, I read Jeremiah every year, but this is one of those ones that you just zip through, you know. I mean, really and truly, if you sit down and read Jeremiah, it takes you about 45 minutes. You can blow through it pretty easy. But this scripture is the one that kept coming back over the last year in my heart, in my head, when I pray for America to come back to God. And I don't, and like I said, that's just me, and I could be absolutely out of left field. But that's what God told Jeremiah. Don't pray for these people no more. Because they've already, that image of going so far that they fall, they're already fallen. I've given them, in these first seven chapters, how many times has God given them a chance to return? Like, at least three times a chapter that God says, this is your sin. If you will return, this is forgiveness. This is your sin. I don't want to send you out of the land. I don't want to put you into bondage. I don't want to chastise you. All you got to do is confess it and come out, and I will heal you. Right? That's what he said over and over and over again. Then he comes to this place and he says, listen, don't pray for him no more. I ain't going to hear you. Verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah or Rochester and the streets of New York? I know it said Jerusalem and Judah there. The children gather wood and the fathers kindle a fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. I will speak not unto your fathers, nor command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I command you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forwards. Since the day of your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Isn't that true? Isn't the youth today doing worse than we? And we were bad, don't get me wrong. We were bad. But when I was a youth, a boy was a boy. He was never confused about that. There was nobody in the education system saying that you have the right to change your gender. Now, it was the years of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? And if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. All that garbage that came out of that, which was the seedbed to make this perversion. So we have gone downhill not one, but three steps into the wickedness, into the pits of hell. This nation has gone. I don't even know if the wickedness of Rome in their heyday was telling people that they have the opportunity to change their sexual orientation, or that there was a sexual orientation. Don't get me wrong, there's homosexuality in that time. There was prostitution in that time. All that stuff was happening. But they weren't saying, all right, you, Susie, today can become Billy. Susie was always Susie, even if Susie liked Jill. But she was always Susie. She was always a girl. And the same thing with the men. They were always male. Now they're confusing. Lance was telling us in the men's group, Sunday school, that there are men who think that they lactate.
Yeah, they're confused why they can't.
Yeah. There are men who the government is giving them infants, and those men think they're angry. They cannot figure out why they cannot breastfeed babies off of that hairy chest. Folks, how wicked does it have to get?
God is shortening the days, or nobody can make it. So,
amen. Thanks for the good, the bright light there. Right? Yeah, God is shortening the days, and it's not just because they keep messing with the time. The days are getting shorter. We're getting closer and closer and closer to the end. It is getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. I don't know how worse. And it must be able to get worse because the judgment hasn't come yet. Israel here and Judah here, they didn't hearken unto the Lord. They didn't incline their ear, but they walked in the counsels and the imagination of their own evil heart. That's where all of this perversion comes from, is people follow their own evil heart. Follow your heart. That's a slogan straight out of the pit of hell. Follow your heart. John Bunyan wouldn't have said that. Right? Not at all. Jonathan Edwards, he wouldn't have said that. What happened? Well, when did we stop fearing God? Because that's really what's happened in this nation and around the world, is we don't fear the Lord anymore.
What is it, scripture about affliction? Being afflicted is what brings us to repentance.
Right? Yes.
It brings us to bow before Him. We don't have any affliction.
Right.
We don't have what they had back during the Depression and during the war. I mean,
well, Israel, right here, they had been blessed by God. In fact, God warned them when they came into the Promised Land, you're going to eat out of fields you haven't planted. You're going to live in houses that you haven't built, and you will forget me. You will forget me. America has been blessed by the hand of God financially, intelligence. I mean, God has blessed this land. And because He blessed this land, we forgot the God who gave us this land that we were blessed with. And now, again, I don't know if there's any turning back. I mean, there are turning back for individuals. I mean, I can repent, right? And you can repent. And you can turn your heart back to God. And He promises you that when the judgment comes, you'll pass through it, right? You'll come through it and you'll be on the other side with Him. No doubt, that's a promise from God. But you got to amend your ways before you come into the house of the Lord. Amend your ways. Stop worshiping all of these false idols, all this fakeness. And when Facebook first came out, all right, and this made a lot of folks mad and they left the church. Facebook first came out, and I told the church, and I still say it today, Facebook friends are not your real friends. They're really not your friends. Now, you may have some friends that you know outside of Facebook that are really your friends. But remember when the big gig was on? Well, I got 750 friends on Facebook. Oh, yeah. If you had no food on your shelves, you ask your 750 Facebook friends. See how much? You'd still have no food on your shelf. But you come to a friend, a neighbor. You come to somebody who loves you, who knows you, that you have a real relationship to, and you say, brother, I have no food on my table. You know what you'll have? Half of what I got, right? And that's what you'll have, at least. Or you might even, if you got more kids than I got, or you got a greater need, you'll have more than half, because that's what real friends do. Facebook friends are fake friends. Zooming, and I just went through a Zoom meeting today. Zoom meetings are not real meetings. They are not real meetings. You hear a lot of blah, 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 blah. But you, unless I can look you right in the face and confront you and you confront me and we can talk things out openly, it's not a meeting. Don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. I'm not going to another one. If I'm Zooming, that means I'm going too fast in the speed limit. You know, that's all the Zoom means. Those folks who left the church during COVID, right? Well, I'm getting my worship time through the internet. No, you're not. You are. I'll guarantee you. You might have your preacher on a little small square up here on the top, but you're watching pornography down here on the other side. Some other kind of perversion. Might not be full-blown pornography, but it might be Molly Cyrus or some other weird musical thing. Or
playing cards,
yeah. Yeah, which is just as wicked. Anyhow, it's after 8. I love you. There's a... Yeah, there's another 10 verses here. Folks, this is Wednesday night stuff. Man, this is too heavy for Wednesday night. It is. Y'all come here on Wednesday night with a lot of burdens and a lot of just weights crushing down on you, and then you hear, turn or burn, baby. This is... Yes, I am with you, brother. It really is.
You made the comment that, you know, it was going down like this, you know, and it was fairly even. It's been happening, you know, a while ago, but I just don't see that. I see it's dropped off the deep end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, once you go across that red line, you were falling, right? You were falling. And so anyhow, folks, I love you. And I really do. And I do love this book. And I don't know, maybe I ought to start preaching on Sunday mornings. You know, I
don't know. When I hear this book.
Yeah.
Even just on an audio, I just go. I mean, I don't know. It, I'm just like.
It blows you away.
I mean, I'm thinking, this is the book.
Well, and again, Pilgrim's Progress is this book. Because there's a narrow path, and if you stay on that narrow path and you don't listen and you don't get pulled away by, you don't get in, oh golly, I can't think of some of the characters' names. But anyhow, those men who try to drive you off the path, take you off the path, give you another way, a shortcut. If you just go across this way, you'll be there before you know it. Now, every time you get off the path, you get into trouble.
The last thing we need is to come here and to be told what that we're good. I mean, we have enough wealth out there. We have plenty. We have too much.
Right.
We have too much. And so we need to.
It's just Wednesday night, folks. I'm pretty sure that y'all. Anyhow, yeah. If y'all, I mean. I'm thinking more highly of you than what I ought. Maybe you don't. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful, Lord Jesus, for your word. Lord, we're grateful for the warnings that you gave in it. And we're grateful, Father, that your arm is not so short that it cannot save. Father, I lift that up to you. Touch our hearts in a real personal way, Lord God. And help us to stand like Jeremiah, you told Jeremiah, to stand at the gate of the Lord's house and tell the people, tell your people to turn, amend their wicked ways. Father, and I pray that that would be on our hearts, on our lips, and we would tell it in a loving way that if we would turn, Father, you will forgive. And Lord, always holding that in the forefront of our hearts and minds, that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that. And we lift it before you. We just pray that you would help us to walk in your righteousness and holiness. We ask those things and so many more. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be safe.